Welcome to the Unstoppable Success Podcast, where we spotlight visionary leaders who have mastered the art of growth, purpose, and powerful connections. I'm your host, Jacqueline Strominger, connector, high performance coach, and creator of the Leap to Your Success framework and Two Steps to Yes. Each week, we dive into bold insights, real conversations, and powerful strategies to fuel your growth, deepen your relationships, and ignite transformational momentum. And why? Because you were meant to be unstoppable. Now, let's leap into the podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another amazing episode of the Unstoppable Success Podcast. I am your host, Jacqueline Strominger. And you know, on this podcast, we hear from amazing leaders and influential people. I have tongue-tied today. And all about their insights and the things that they have done to have unstoppable success. And today I love to bring on and share with you Quinn Magnuson. And let me tell you a little bit about Quinn. He is an ex-pro football player. I mean, so you know, like coaches, like he knows how to be coach and all of those things. But he has gone from gridiron to the from the gridiron to the boardroom, and again, pro football player turned performance coach, and he believes that we suffer in an outcome results obsessed world, and preach that effort is the true focus we should have. Leadership is not a title; it is a privilege, and it is earned. And he teaches people how to be leaders in all walks of life. I'd like to add to that, which I would probably also say, I think leadership is something that can be learned and is always to be worked on. So anyway, welcome, Quinn.
Thank you, Jacqueline. I'm excited to be here. I know it's been a while, trying to get this together, but let's chop it up. Let's have some great conversations today, and I hope your audience enjoys it.
Oh, I am sure they will. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, okay, ex-pro football player, right? And obviously you've gone into leadership, but I'm really curious. The football field, leadership is paramount in a team sport. So I wanted you to share, like, you know, what were some of those biggest lessons that you took from the field?
Mm-hmm. I actually wrote an article about this for LinkedIn a few months ago, and I spoke to how sports and business, a lot of walks of life, but sports and business, really, there's tons of analogies between the two and metaphors between the two. And I would say that, you know, anyone on a football team or any sports team in general can be a leader. I think we know that. You and I would agree that leadership is not something that's, you know, just entitled to the top level. But there's two people that really hold the power when it comes to, as you know, having influence. And I think leadership is influence on a football team. And that's really, it's the quarterback and it is the head coach. And I would say that the thing that I learned from, you know, 15 years of football, and that was, you know, high school, college, pro, that when you want to run through a brick wall, and I use that metaphorically, for that quarterback, for that coach that you play for, that says a lot about their leadership. And it's not because, you know, they dragged you kicking and screaming into the huddle and they basically yelled at you to do better. It's someone that you don't want to disappoint them. And you just love the way that they lead and how they talk to you, and that they don't get down on you. And they actually talk about the effort you're putting in, not just the result. And I remember distinctly, I was playing in Winnipeg. And for your audience out there, professional football, sorry to say, it wasn't NFL, it was CFL. So thanks you for protecting me on that one, Jacqueline. But still, it's still professional football.
Right. And it is professional.
It is. And we got paid. I had a quarterback in Winnipeg. His name was Matt Dunnigan, and he's a Hall of Famer. Okay. So CFL Hall of Famer. He's actually on TSN, which is the ESPN equivalent in Canada. And I remember going into my first game, and I was, you know, kind of scared poopless. And I was got in there, and I was like 22 years old, and I got into the game because the guy ahead of me had gotten hurt. And I got into the huddle, and he just looked at me, and he kind of grabbed me by the face mask, and he goes, "You're gonna do great, kid. Let's go." And I was like, "Wow." I felt like I could.
Oh, I'm gonna cry.
I know. I felt like I could beat anybody. And then, and the sad thing was, Jacqueline, is on the first play, I missed my block.
Oh.
And we got back to the huddle, and I'm like, he's gonna yell at me. He's gonna yell at me. I'm in deep caca. And he got me in the huddle, and in front of everybody, he looked at me again, grabbed my face back. He goes, "Forget about it. Next play." And I was like, whew. And I was just like, like I said, run through brick walls for this guy. Like Matt Dunnigan was one of the greatest quarterbacks that I ever played with. And I played with a lot of great quarterbacks. Like I played with Drew Bledsoe, who ended up was a Hall of Famer with New England for
Right.
years. But I played with him in college and other CFL quarterbacks. But leadership and in on the field and in the sports arena, basically it is about creating a psychologically safe environment for your teammates, for the entire organization, where people want to come to work every day and they feel good about it. They can be themselves, and they're being recognized more for their effort that they put in and the work ethic and the hard work, as opposed to just results. So when I talk about effort over results, and I don't want to reveal too much right now because I'm sure you have questions, it's not, I'm saying, well, effort is everything and everybody should get a participation medal. That's not what I'm trying to say. Results still matter. But it's the recognition of effort that gives people the, let's call it the battery energy, the juice, to want to try to continue to recreate that. Because as we all know, we can't affect results. We can't control the result. We can only control our attitude and our effort. So when
Right.
you tell your child, when you tell your athlete, when you tell your student in a classroom, when you tell your employee, that you really appreciate their effort, they will go to lengths to try and prove that and to mimic that and to recreate that again, because they can control that. And so
Right.
on the sports field, that's where I learned my greatest lessons, was definitely that first, relationship building with my coaches, with my, quarterbacks, with my teammates. It's about propping each other up and making each other feel better, because you make a ton of mistakes. And as an offensive lineman in football, if you make one mistake, it could be the end of a quarterback's knee. It could be the end, a play that goes for 7 yard loss. It's about going on to the next play, forgetting about it, and appreciating what everybody's doing around you.
Yep. I love what you're, talking about the effort and what you were able to see, on the field. And I'll share, one of the things that I see happening, particularly right now, like in high school basketball, because my son plays or just finished his senior year playing basketball, so he's off onto golf season soon. But one of the things that you would see is, a kid putting in a lot of effort and he misses a couple of shots. And then the coach pulls him because he missed a couple shots. Well, I would say, why are you pulling him? Because he missed two, but we always say, you miss every shot you don't take, right? So, if the effort's there and whatever. So maybe the guy was blocking him away, I don't know, whatever it is, right? But what are you rewarding? Right?
Yeah, you know what?
There's a
I have
fine
a
line, I think, right?
there is. And I mean, we have to look at the big picture there. So how I would sort of process that situation if it was my son, okay? And puts in tons of effort, but was just shooting cold that night, just not hitting the rim, hitting the basket, and it's having a struggle. I'm okay with the coach pulling a player because of that. If it looks like they've just gone cold, it's like pulling a goalie in hockey if they're letting 5 goals on 6 shots. It's like, okay, something's just not right. They're having a rough night. But it's how you act when they come off to the bench, and what you say to them in that moment is what can either kill their spirit or bring their spirit up. So as a coach, if I had, let's say I pulled your son off and he had missed a few shots, I might just say, "Hey, take a rest. Missed a couple shots. Don't worry about it. We'll get you back in the game. Okay. Just a little bit cold right now. All right. No big deal. Just don't make him feel bad that he missed shots. Like as he's walking off, don't say, you know what? You can't hit anything tonight. Just go sit on the bench." It's all in the messaging. And this is what I preach to my, the organizations that I work with. It's like, nope, you can tell someone that they're not performing well, but give the reasons behind it and give them a chance to fix it. And so
Right.
what we see in sports a lot is, a receiver that drops three balls, during the course of a quarter or half. And the coach actually said, or the quarterback will often go, "Hey, coach, let's throw to that guy again. Let's give him a chance to recover his confidence," right? And you'll do that. You'll go right back to the same guy who just dropped three balls because you don't want him spiraling downward mentally and just for the rest of the game. So you go, "You know what? We're coming back to you." And it's like you said, there's a fine line, right?
There's a fine line to it. So I'm curious, you're on the football field and you decide to obviously stop playing. What made you go into performance coaching and leadership?
Well, I would say that there is several years between when I finished playing football, which would have been 1997. As I tell my kids, in the 1900s, I quit playing football. And I started coaching businesses and on leadership and performance in 2010. Okay, so that's a gap. That's a 13-year gap. But after I finished football, I actually went back to school because the first time around I didn't get my degree. So I went back to school and I got my teaching degree, and I actually was a high school teacher for 5 years.
Oh,
And
wow.
I'm gonna keep this short because there's a line that goes through all of this. And then I decided that, you know what, I love working with kids and I love teaching and educating kids. I just don't like doing it in a classroom setting. So my wife and I actually became business owners, and all the employees that we hired for this particular business we owned were between the ages of, 16 and 25. So young, entry-level type kids. Then we sold the company, and that's when I started working for an advisory group, up here in Canada, which is where I started doing my business advising and coaching and performance coaching. What I noticed, Jacqueline, from, even when I was in high school, but that entire timeline, everything has one common thread, and it was, I love helping people get better. Okay. So even when I was, playing football, I was always one that's going to help the other players get better. We're going to watch film together. When I owned my company, I wanted these kids to be hired and I want them to leave better than when I found them and to go on to bigger and better jobs. When I was a teacher, I wanted all my students and my athletes at the school that I worked with to leave better than when I found them. And then business coaching for the last 15 years and now a full-time, performance coach, because even my book that just came out, it talks about how we can be a leader in every single walk of our life, whether you're a parent, whether you're a coach, a teacher, aunt or uncle, grandpa, grandma, business owner, it doesn't matter. If you are concerned with helping others get better, especially young people, then you can be a leader and you should be a leader. And this is the message that I'm trying to bring, is that we don't grow more resilient and confident, kids certainly don't, by having results-based messaging shouted at them. They grow by learning from mistakes. They grow by being able to be themselves. They grow by not being shown everything how to do it. It's like when you're working on the car with your dad and you go to, turn something, a wrench or a screwdriver, and he goes, "Ah, you're doing it wrong. Give me that. I'll do it," right?
Right.
That's not helping.
Right. That's not teaching.
That's not teaching. You're not coaching. They're not learning. And it, Jacqueline, it took me 50 years to figure all of this out, because the effort over results philosophy that now I've written a book about, and it's the name of my coaching service, it was like my kids finally taught me this lesson. And I was like, you know what? I kind of, not that I was a bad father, it's just that when I raised my kids and I coached my kids too, it was too much results-based messaging. So here's an example. If people are confused by what I mean by that, my son would, actually, my daughter was born talented right out of the womb. So she would finish a swim meet and she would have won all of her races and she broke a provincial record. And I would acknowledge that. I'd be like, "You broke a provincial, you won all your races. Holy crap." Right. Or she got 98% on a test. Or like she was just good at everything she did. She didn't even really have to try. She was so talented. And so I kept saying that, "You're so talented, you're so athletic, you're so smart, you're so, beautiful." When you tell kids that at a young age, and this is a Gen X, Gen Z problem, because we were told as parents, Gen X parents, tell your kids how great they are, even if they aren't. And I told her this, and I just go, and she got in her mind, I'm awesome. I need to be awesome all the time. And if I'm not awesome all the time, I'm a failure. That's what you're telling kids. That's what you're telling people when you constantly remark the result that happened. But when you tell your children, students, athletes, whoever, when you say, I saw the work you put in practice this week, that's why you had a good game.
Right.
Their brain says, I can control that effort thing. I'm going to keep doing that because maybe I'll have more good games. But even if they don't, you still want to reward the effort because they'll continue to try to recreate that. But when you tell them you're so smart, athletic, talented, they have this vision of themselves that their self-worth is based on success alone, not the journey.
You know, it's so true. There's so many things that we tie to, I'm just going to call it the number, right? Like
The
the number of
scoreboard.
baskets, the scoreboard, the, you know, the bank account, the speaking engagements, the whatever, like, and people, it's true. It's show the effort but not to give everybody a trophy, because not everybody gets the trophy. Just because you showed up doesn't mean you put in the effort. There's a huge difference. And I always feel that that is one of the biggest things that we need to have, that unstoppable success. If you are putting in the effort, there's also that tipping point of where, you know, you keep putting in the effort, you keep putting in the effort, and then all of a sudden the more the results will start to come, right? There's that. You'll tip over and like it's gonna be, oh, you'll see the benefit of
And we
all
don't
of
know
the
when that's going
effort.
to happen. We don't know when that's going to happen. That's the thing. You can put in effort for 6 days, you can put in effort for 6 years and see result, in those time periods. We don't know when that's going to happen. All you can do is just do it. And so I love the screen that was on when I was in the waiting room before the show. It was basically just small, consistent efforts every single day is what makes us successful. Because once again, you can't control the outcome. If I'm 350 pounds and I want to get it down to 250, and I'm just constantly just looking at the scale, it just beats you down. But what about the 14 days of, one mile walking you did? What about the fact you did lose 20 pounds, but maybe not the 100 you wanted? Those are all celebrated successes. And I find this in society, and I hate to say this to your American listeners, but I mean, American society is based on a scoreboard.
It
It
is
literally, it
so
like
much
you were
based on
born out of conflict. This country, your nation was born out of conflict. And
that.
it's like, we're the back-to-back World War champs, right? Stuff like that. And that's great and that's fine. And I love celebrating. I love winning. I love trophies. I love championships. But when that's the only thing that you're messaging is like it's win at all costs, or you either win or lose, or as Bobby, who was it, Ricky Bobby would say, you either win or you're a loser, like second place is the first loser. Man, it just it, this is why people in business situations get burnt out, because they work their tails off, but maybe they didn't get that contract signed, maybe they didn't hit their target for the quarter, maybe they didn't hit budget, and their manager says, well, you didn't hit budget. Gee, thanks, Mr. Obvious. Like, I know I didn't hit budget. I'm already beating myself down for that. I don't need to hear that. But if you say, you know what? All the effort you're putting in, it's market conditions, it's a bad economy right now. Just keep doing what you're doing. Just takes the pressure off, makes them want to work harder. And this applies to everything.
You know, it's I love that you just said that, because you know, one of the things that I feel like that we talk a lot about on this show is we talk a lot about, you know, those values that are aligned in alignment, right? So in leadership, you know, that value of being able to me, like one of the biggest values is that support. It's not the right word that I'm thinking of right now, but like to really, you know, lift people up and not to, you know, to be that cheerleader to say, hey, guess what, right? Like, you know, one of those values, it's if you're working with a company with somebody who doesn't value cheerleading the others, that's not going to be the right place for you. But it's so important for us to promote the effort and to remind people that those small steps, it compounds. So the weight that you want to
Atomic
lose,
habits.
right? Atomic Habits, the compound effect. You name the book, right? It's been written about it, right? You know, do those little things. But the other key part is in doing those little things, It's the long game, right? I mean, unless you're selling gasoline, burgers, fries, right? You're out there and your business is the long game. You're building relationships. I love calling it relationship capital. You're building that relationship. And the person that you, whatever you're doing today, 2 years down the line, right? They might, that they might pick up the phone and call you. They might change their mind because they're seeing something that you're doing. I mean, there's so many things that can happen in those small little things that we do daily.
That is the hardest thing to get business owners to change their mind on. Because, and I get it, I understand, as a business owner, founder, CEO, whatever you want to call it, they are being measured by results. Okay. Or even if you're your own business owner, you own your own business, you are measuring yourself daily by how much revenue did we do today? How much we do this month? What is the KPIs on that? What's our margins? And it's like, I get it because that's your livelihood. It's putting food on the table for your family. But that's the hardest thing that I come up against when I'm working with business owners, because most business, and this is a generational thing. So most business owners that I work with are Gen X. So these are people born between 65 and 81. And some boomers are still left over, the ones that are long in the tooth, still kicking around. Some boomers and some Gen and lots of Gen X owners. Well, we, because I'm Gen X, we grew up in a culture of results only. Everything was results, results, results. And that's just how I grew up. I knew it and everybody knew it, and it wasn't bad. It was like, get results. It's the millennials that finally started to question it, and they wanted more work-life balance because of it. And now the Gen Z are basically going, too bad, I'm walking, see ya, because I don't want to be part of your results-obsessed culture here. I want to know, how do I fit in? What role do I play? What's my purpose? Because I will give you my energy, but where are my energies going? And that's the difference. And this is the, like I said, when I work with younger business owners and so, like millennials and then the occasional Gen Z, young, really young ones, they all have a totally different mindset. They still want results, but they understand how important culture is, how important relationships are, how important it is to grow your people. Because right now, we're living in a society where finding a new job is very tough, or you can't find good people. Well, why not keep the people you have? And how you do that and the culture that you build is what keeps them. People aren't going down the street for an extra buck an hour. They're leaving your company because they don't like you and they don't like your culture. That's what Gen Z is doing. They're using their feet to basically send a message to these business owners saying, listen, I don't feel psychologically safe here. And I'm not trying to turn this into some, left woke stuff. That's not what psychologically safe means. Psychologically safe just means I can be myself. I'm recognized and rewarded for the effort that I put in, and you're trying to coach and teach and grow me so that I can do that for others that come behind me. But business owners struggle with that.
It's interesting that you say that business owners struggle with that because I
The
feel like,
long game, yeah.
right? It's the long game, right? But the other thing too is, and I think this has been around for eons, is, doesn't to me doesn't really, well, maybe not the boomers because they just stayed in the jobs because they just stayed and they, they worked for, got their first job out of school and they, or a lot of times they stayed at the company for 25 years and 30 years or whatever.
It
Doesn't
was all
always
about
happen,
stability. Yep,
right?
stability. Yep.
They wanted that. They wanted the stability. That was like that mindset then. But somewhere along the way, it always has, to me, it has always been people don't leave companies because of the money. They leave companies because of how the companies make them feel. They will say it's the money, but it's never the money. 90
In
times,
the end, yeah.
like
In
in the
the
end,
end,
it's
it's
usually
never.
never the money because,
Yeah.
and I've said this before, and I think statistically speaking, the human resources, group could probably, back me up with some statistics, but
Yeah.
if you take the counter offer, if you say I'm leaving company X, and you say to your boss, I'm leaving company X, I'm leaving blah blah blah, whatever, I got another job at company Y. And your boss says, okay, well, what are they offering you? And they're gonna say, oh, they throw me $20,000 more, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, okay, well, we're gonna offer you 35. And if you take it, what's going to end up happening? 6 months later, you're still going to leave because you were not happy. And, shame on that company for then saying, well, we'll give you 35. Well, you should have given them the 35 in the first place. Right? Like,
Exactly. So basically you were undervaluing me right from the start.
right. So, yeah. So go take
Yeah.
a hike. Right.
Yeah, you're right. People like, I mean, it's you see it all over Instagram on business accounts, like and coaching accounts. Like basically, it's people don't leave bad companies; they be lab be or sorry, they leave bad leadership.
Right.
And this, but I'm giving a keynote speech on Wednesday this week, and it basically I'm going to try to get the CEOs that are in the room because they're all over 10 million in revenue to see the correlation between. As a business owner, trying to grow your people through that effort recognition, that growth mindset through psychological safety. But I always try to get them to first go. I ask them, are you a parent? Like, do you have children? Almost everybody in the room does, right? How many of you have coached a sports team, your kid's sports team? 60 to 70% have. How many of you have ever had to teach somebody something? Yeah, a few. Okay. It's all the same. You should treat your employees the way you treat your children, your students, your athletes. They should all be treated the same way. You're trying to grow them, get them better so that the culture of the team becomes a place that people want to work at or play for or be part of. And so I try to, it's not dumbing it down, Jacqueline. It's basically simplifying it for them because we need to stop thinking like it's 1968 again, where business is separate from social life. Business is separate from family life. Business is separate from everything. It's not anymore at all. And I use Maslow's hierarchy of physiological needs to talk about this because at the bottom, it's just your basic food, water, shelter, clothing. Well, there's a business Maslow's hierarchy as well, which is basically just, are you giving a fair wage? Do they have safe working environment and so forth? And every level on that hierarchy and the pyramid going to the top, you can see where in the early 1900s, business owners, oh, we have to pay them more. Oh, we have to give them only 8 hours a day instead of 20 hours a day, right? And then
Right.
in the 90s, it was like, oh, barbecue Fridays. Okay, we're creating culture. Well, the new Maslow's hierarchy, the self-actualization at the top is effort recognition, is growth mindset in the workplace, is physiological safety. And psychological safety. And business owners need to start grasping that. And the millennial owners are coming on to it. The Gen Zs will, but the boomers and the Gen Xers are fighting it tooth and nail.
Right. I love that. So, listeners, I think this is actually, I want to just share, this is so important to understand both, whether you yourself are growing a business or you're within a business and you're a leader, or maybe you're a solopreneur. Think about those efforts. I mean, seriously, listen to Quinn. I mean, it is your effort that you're putting in. Yes, you want to see results. If you're not getting the results you need, maybe you need to change the effort, but don't stop the effort, right?
Let me clarify this. This will help. Because I'm going to play my own devil's advocate. The two
Okay.
questions that I get, one is, so basically any effort counts as I should recognize any effort, once again, participation medal idea, that whole concept. I'm like, no, not at all. Effort still needs to be intentional.
Right.
So here's a very simple example. If you are overweight and you're trying to lose weight, don't go and lift weights more. You need more cardio, right? There's a way to lose weight that works. So it's intentional, the effort, so that you can get the results. Same thing in business. If you have a salesperson and they think the best idea to get new clients is to only just email them, well, it's been proven that reaching out to people verbally through a phone or meeting with them for coffee, lunch, or whatever is better. So the intentional effort there needs to be more directed towards that. So we're not saying that if you have an employee that is putting in effort every day and it looks like they're just sweating bullets every day and putting the, working hard, looks good. Are they producing? No. Okay. We need to now decide, is the effort they're putting in intentional and purposeful towards what they're trying to accomplish? So I want to clarify that because people go,
Right.
well, I've got people who bust their tails and they still don't produce. Well, let's take have a chat. Let's have a chat with them about what are the inputs that we need to get outcomes. The
Right.
second one is, what about those people who can get results without trying? And I go back to my daughter, who was that one of
Right.
those kids who was just naturally gifted at everything. And they go, well, what if we have an employee that, hits their budget all the time and basically barely works at all? I said, well, how would you handle that? Number one, I asked them how they would handle that. And they go, well, I really don't care. The person's hitting their targets, they're killing it. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, they're gonna get bored quick and they're gonna go to another company because you're not making them feel fulfilled and growing them. If all they're there is just to kill the scoreboard, they will leave. I said, why don't you ask them to teach the others? Why don't you say, how do you just kill your results every month? What is it that you do? Ask them. And if they say, well, I don't really do a whole lot, but I do do this. Can you teach that to the others? Because obviously it's working. And you get them to buy in now to being a leader to the others. So I hate when I'm, speaking to an audience and someone goes, well, this is just participation medals. Or, what do you tell that person who just kills it all the time and they don't have to really try hard at all? There's ways around that. There's
It's
ways to
so
grow
true,
them.
right? And but one thing that I think is really important that you just said, that's underlying in that is communication,
Yeah.
right? The communication is so important. Ask them, so, because somebody who's killing it, yay, we whether somebody is killing it or they're not killing it, both people need to be supported and feel like they're part of the team and that they're contributing, and they're also that they feel that the leadership is helping them grow.
Or maybe they need to be challenged more. Here's another great example. And once again, I'm using cross-referencing. In the classroom, you have four or five students that are all just A students. They're going to get 90s. No matter what they do, they're getting 90s. They don't have to work very hard at it. They're just smart and they just get it, right? And I basically just go, okay, well, I still should spend time with them, or maybe I should challenge them even more. I would let them just, define their own project they're going to do. Okay, you tell me, how are you going to meet curriculum objectives? Do your own project. And they'll eat that stuff up, right? Because even the high achievers, the ones that can show up and just succeed, want more. I call them lions. They're lions. Feed your lions. Keep feeding your lions, right? And the ones that are struggling, okay, you need to spend more time with them, but then you need to understand why they're 50% students. Probably a backstory there. Maybe life's not good at home, what have you, whatever. But that goes for your employees too. If you have an employee that's underachieving or falling asleep at work or showing up late or whatever, well, I would say it's your job to find out why and try to support them and help them in that area because you're probably going to end up firing them if you don't. So why not at least give them an opportunity because there's generally a story there. But challenge your overachievers and nurture and coach your underachievers and try to make them work together.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Quinn, I could talk to you for hours on this subject because it is
Yeah.
so important. But how can my listeners connect with you and get more of all that you're teaching
Yeah.
and sharing? Effort over results.
Get the
It's so
juice.
right. Yeah.
Yeah, so
Get the
very, very simple. My website is effort over results, all one word, effortoverresults.com. My first book just came out, Effort Over
Congratulations.
Results. Yeah, it just came out this week, and you can find that at book.effortoverresults.com. You can also just go to the main website. I'm on LinkedIn, just look for Quinn Magnuson, but I would say basically just go to the website. We also have a podcast, the Effort Over Results podcast, that is on YouTube. So you can go find it there as well as Apple and Spotify. But literally, if you just search Effort Over Results on any major platform, you're going to find us there. And I love talking about this stuff. So very, very happy to be here today. Thank you very much, Jacqueline. And I hope to
Oh
hear
my.
from some of your audience.
Oh God, I hope everybody, guys, seriously, reach out to Quinn and please do me the favor. Two things. Number one is we actually have a brand new community on school called School, the SKOOL, Unstoppable Success. So please, listeners, jump over to school and jump into Unstoppable Success. We are offering tips, trainings, some courses. There's some free, there's going to be some paid, but get in now while it's free, and you'll love it. And then do me the next favor, please, and hit subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already. And please make sure that you share this with a friend, business colleague, or somebody else that you think might be able to get get some nuggets from this great message. So thank you again for listening. Again, thank you, Quinn, for being a great guest. I'm your host, Jacqueline Strumager, and this is the Unstoppable Success Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me on the Unstoppable Success Podcast, where we don't just talk about growth, we leap toward it. If something today lit a fire within you, sparked a new idea, or gave you the extra push forward, please don't keep it to yourself. Share this episode and podcast with a friend, colleague, or fellow high achiever. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review, and most importantly, connect with me, Jacqueline Strominger, at leaptoyoursuccess.com for coaching, community, and your next bold move. Keep leading with intention, keep building your network with purpose, and most of all, keep leaping, because you were meant to be unstoppable.